Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. Welcome to the 32nd episode of the FPL Wire powered by Dreamset Go. We are recording ahead of Game Week 35. I'm your host, Zofa, and I'm joined as usual by my co-host, Late Riser. How's it going, Ella?
A good week. I did good things with my transfers. I made those moves 15 minutes before the official double game week news came out. I was talking to you about it. And first instinct worked out because I managed to sell Jota and Cavani for Bale and Wood. That worked out pretty well. They scored 27 of my 46 points. So it would have been an absolute shit show without them. People were talking about, if you captain Bale, etc. But Kane against Sheffield United, I wasn't going to captain anybody else. He did take 6 shots. So, the little regret in terms of captaining Kane ahead of Bale is just some results-based thinking. It was always going to be Kane. How about you, Sof?
Not a great week, I think. I had 5 players in the Liverpool-United game and I had Rudiger as well. So I fielded, 8 players, I think. That being said, 34, I think, is a lot more than what most people got. So, at only a 1K drop, so not too bad.
Still in the top 10K?
11K.
All right, the chase is definitely on.
Yeah. Well, Tom picks good. Like, Tom picks his weeks to come on the pod, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't think we've had a single week where Tom has come onto the pod after a bad week. That just hasn't happened yet.
It has been a tough season. I mean, I do seem to come on the pod at the right time, but I'm not particularly happy with the way it's gone. But just hoping for a strong finish now. Had a good game week. 64 points. Welbeck came in with 12, as did Son, and the defence chipped in as well. We've got Mendé and Digne and Raheelon and Veltman. So, yeah, a good week. I'm at 140k overall now, so about 18 points short of my 100k target, which I set a few weeks back when I was struggling. The postponement ended up benefiting me, but it was luck. And it's an odd season, isn't it? And I do feel for the people that had 4, 5, 6 players wiped out this weekend, because it's not a nice feeling.
Yep. Yeah, I saw a comment on Twitter, somebody posted, like, if you're playing FPL for the first time this year, it's not like this every year.
you're not coming back, are you?
But Tom, the stars are aligning. You know what this means, right? You just need to come on more often. That's it. You're going to guaranteed a good season.
That's all good with me. I always enjoy it. So, let's hope for a good finish for us all. And then we can kind of take a bit of that momentum into the next season as well.
Are either of you guys planning to play Euro Fantasy at all?
At the moment, I don't think I'm going to take a break, but things change very quickly. Absolutely. I'm very easily convinced to play FPL, any sort of fantasy game. So won't be surprised if that changes.
Yeah. I can't help myself sometimes. I always say it would just be nice to watch the games without any of that kind of, keep hoping for a clean sheet or anything like that. But I might take a break. I've played Champions League Fantasy as well this year, so it has been quite full on with that. Oh, nice. So I may well take a break, but let's see.
Yeah, it all depends. Right? Not much else going on. Usually there's something or the other going on this summer, but this year there's really nothing else going on.
Yeah, I think it's a week or 10 days after the Champions League final, so it's non-stop. Literally non-stop.
I know Bakker is playing. If you guys wanted to know that, Bakker is definitely going to be playing.
Yeah, I think he's doing a bit of content as well. So for those in the chat, Bakker's definitely going to be doing some content on this as well.
Right. Should we start off with our sponsor plugs and we can move on?
Yep.
Quick word about our sponsors. Dreamset Go is a global portal for fans to gain access to sporting events around the world. Accommodation, flight tickets, hospitality, stadium visits. Everything can be tailored exactly to your requirements. They also do celebrity experiences, which include masterclasses with your favorite sports celebrity, or something as simple as birthday shoutouts. You can find links to the products in the description below. The FPL Wire is a part of the Fantasy Scout Network, and all stats used in this podcast are taken from the FFS members area. Please sign up if you haven't already.
Also, a big thank you to OneFootball for sponsoring today's stream of the FPL Wire. It's an app that's available on both Android and iOS, and it's completely free to download. So click on the link in the description below. On the app, you get news about all your favorite teams, as well as general news about the top 5 leagues. Especially if you're not following the La Liga, you really should. It's such an exciting end to the season there. It's also got a lot of stats about every game, including those relevant to us as fantasy managers, such as shots in the box, shots on target, loads of other stats in there. We even have short video clips where you can check out some of the best goals and player and manager interview snippets. Now, if you guys don't already know, we've created an FPL Wire League where the manager of the week every week gets a shout out from a Dream Set Go celebrity. Now, this week is something worth playing for because the winner in this week gets a shout out from the Turbinator Harbhajan Singh. He's one of the great Indian cricketing legends of our game, and you don't really need to introduce him. The winner next week gets a shout out from Mike Hussey. So the Aussies who are watching our part, they probably want to have a team set up for next week. Just to announce the winners for the past 2 weeks, in Game Week 33, the winner was Bharat Phukan with 91 points. He wins a shout out from Jatin Sapru. In Game Week 34, we had a tie. And the winner won on assists. And Siddharth Nadwani is the winner in Game Week 34 with 85 points. 85. He wins a shout out from 85.
How do you get 85 points in a week like this?
He had bail captain. That's half the chop down.
All right,
that's a lot of bail captainers in our league, actually. So I was very happy to see that.
You made a great shout on him. I remember, I think it was a pod or so ago about how he's
last pod.
Last pod, right? Like how he's going to get like a Pogba-style revival.
Yeah, exactly. It showed, and we'll talk about Bale a little later. I'll just finish the formalities.
Sure.
Just taking you guys through the agenda as well for today. We're going to be talking about the game week review, the game that went. After that, the whole pod is going to be about double game week, the targets, the players that we should have to look for the run-in, whether we should free hit in 35, 36, maybe even 38. After that, we'll have our hot fixtures, the captains, our teams, and the Q&A. Now, just a little bit of a notice. At the moment, Liverpool look like they don't have... actually, we'll get onto that when we talk about double game week 35.
Yeah, we have Ben Sticker. Right. Let's finish first. Let's talk about the game week that was gone, which turned out to be a blank game week instead. Let's start with Southampton-Leicester. Who, hands up, who thought this was going to be a 5-6-0 after the red card?
Yeah, I thought 4-5 goals for Leicester, easy. But they blew it. They blew it. They didn't play particularly well, I thought.
I think it actually worked against them, so Leicester, right? Because what happens, Southampton, normally they attack. They're a free-flowing team that looks to move forward. But now they just puss-puck with 10 men behind the ball. And McCarthy made some nice saves.
Yeah, I know. But you'd expect that Leicester, with Tielemans and Maddison playing in that team, they should have enough creativity to, you know, play through such a... defense. So
yeah, they missed Harvey Barnes. They didn't really have any natural winger. That was a problem. I think Castagne was providing the width on the right side, but I think they brought on Albrighton later on. I don't remember exactly. Tom, what's your take?
Yeah, it was quite a frustrating watch because I was a Madison owner, still am, and so I was kind of watching him closely. And I thought after that sending off, I thought it would be down to him to kind of pull the strings because I thought that, you know, Southampton would revert to getting a lot of men behind the ball, but it just didn't quite happen for him. He was dropping very deep. I mean, Vardy had that good chance in the second half where McCarthy saved from a Maddison pass, but that was about as close as it got. And I thought they might withdraw a centre-back and maybe put somebody additional on further forward for a bit longer. But it didn't quite happen for them, did it?
No, they subbed off Fofana, right? I think at halftime to switch to a four. But no dice.
Rogers' excuse was that it was their fourth game in a very short while. So tired legs is what he said.
That's just excuses.
They didn't do enough. Okay. Madison, you know, even I own Madison as well, Tom. It just seems like he's still not quite there yet with terms of mad sharpness.
Yeah.
It was a lot of half-hour shots from outside the box that I saw. Nothing really outside of that.
He got more minutes, didn't he? But yeah, like you say, there was a lot of long range drives, wasn't there?
Exactly.
We'll talk more about both these teams once we get to the double game week section, since they're both double game week teams.
All right. Palace versus Man City. Tom, your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I thought Mendy was superb for Man City. I thought he was their best player, and I thought it was some good build up play in the first half. I thought they lacked that kind of final touch, but second half things improved. You know, Aguero, he looked impressive, didn't he? Which I'm sure will please you, Pranil. And there might be some opportunities in the running, maybe to kind of target him for possible captaincy. But yeah. I mean, they rotate and they still do the business, don't they, City? Which suggests that there'll be plenty more between now and the end of the season, I think.
Yep. Palace actually played pretty well in the first half, but I think they just fell apart in the second with the constant pressure that City kept playing with. I particularly thought Raheem Sterling owners, you know, people who punted there were so unlucky. He did everything in his power
to get
some points. He was top for shots in the box this game week as well, but unfortunately nothing.
Not even a shot on target. Six shots in the box, zero shots on target.
Wow, that's quite some stat. But yeah, very, very happy with that Aguero finish. It's not an easy finish what he did, and that's what Aguero does. Very excited to own him in game week 36. I pretty much made up my mind.
Yeah, LR sent me a photo, guys, right after Aguero scored, and there was just like splood all over the wall. Everywhere.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
But it was very good. And let's talk about the post-match comments that Pep made and Aguero also made. Aguero said that he's been fit for a while. He's been feeling sharp. He's excited to finish the season strongly. And Guardiola was very effusive in his praise as well. He said, we're going to enjoy Aguero for the last few games.
His exact quote was, we're going to enjoy the last few games with him. You know, so it sounds to me like he's going to give Aguero the send-off he deserves. And what was actually quite pleasing to see was the reaction once Aguero scored that goal. Did you see, Pep?
Yeah.
He was all like, you're the man. Tip my hat to you.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of that that's going to happen in the last two or three game weeks. And I want to be there if it does.
I think 36, right, is probably the time to target. I think 35 against Chelsea, I still 50-50 whether he plays. But 36, 37, 38.
Yep. Especially if they have the league wrapped up before Newcastle, then I see him playing for sure. He probably misses a game or two because I don't think he's quite in the starting 11 for City, you know. But so he maybe might miss the game, the Brighton game, I reckon. But I think he's getting the Newcastle and the Everton game. And he's going to get your 30-minute
chance. So 37 is what you're saying he might miss.
Yeah. And even if he gets the Brighton game, I don't know if he's going to... Sorry, the Everton game, which is in 38. I don't know if he gets the full game because Pep will want his team in the Champions League final playing in that final game against Everton just for rhythm. So I'm a little worried about 38.
That's interesting. We'll talk more about that because United also might have a curveball that week, like you mentioned. So
we'll talk
more about that later. Brighton, Leeds.
Leeds offered nothing. They conceded the highest number of big chances this week amongst anybody. So they're having problems because not only were they missing Rafinha, they're missing Calvin Phillips as well. And it's a huge loss to them because they can't seem to find the right balance. Brighton, 2-0 is sort of... you know, not a fair scoreline. They could have easily scored 4-5 goals against United. Leeds were that poor, but were all over them. You know, that actually leads to, if especially Phillips is ruled out for this week against Spurs, it leads to some difficult decisions for FPL managers because you need to buy double gaming players and most of them have expensive Spurs assets as disposable players. So there's a decision there.
Right, we'll talk about that. That's a major decision we have to make with respect to, I think, Son, Kane, and especially now that Bale appears to be the form option.
Yep, exactly. Thoughts on the game, Tom?
Yeah, I thought Brighton looked good, but I did think this game would suit them more. Brighton seemed to struggle. You know, they struggled against Sheffield United the week before, didn't they? And they tend to have struggled about against the teams near the bottom more so than the teams who want to come out and play a bit. So my kind of dilemma going into the week was play Veltman or Welbeck, and I ended up on Welbeck, but got Veltman in the end anyway, and then they did the business. And yeah, they're a good team, Brighton, and I think they're a team for next year to keep an eye on in terms of the prices, because I think they'll be kindly priced because their league position this year. But I do think that under Potter, it wouldn't surprise me if they were kind of in and around mid-table top half next year. So, yeah, good performance.
I agree.
Just one thing worth mentioning is that Alioski was subbed off in the second half and Dallas moved back to left back. So it's worth monitoring whether he's going to play at a left back in the next game or in midfield? Because if he's playing at left back, it sort of diminishes his appeal and value.
Correct. Yeah. A lot depends on Rafinha also being back, I think, because they're a completely different team without him.
Yeah, that's key to unlocking Bamford again, I think, isn't it? Getting Rafinha back in the team. Because they finished, they've got some good, we'll talk about it later, but the couple of fixtures to finish are really appealing for Leeds.
Definitely.
I've held him through this entire phase, Rafinha. Don't think I'm going to lose him.
Chelsea, Fulham?
Your boy's off. Why don't you tell us?
Havertz. Oh, my, the Havertz show. Not a Sunday league player, some may prefer to call him. No names shall be taken for now. But yeah, it was a great performance. The goals were like FIFA-esque goals. The touch by Mount from the pass that came in from Thiago Silva, then the assist after that. That's up there for me for assist of the season.
Yeah. And it's escalated by that trap of the ball. Like he made that ball dead in no time. It was spectacular to watch. But yeah, I think it's heating up in the race for fourth spot because I don't think it's as straightforward as it looks like because you have Chelsea and Leicester who are ahead, but they have three difficult fixtures, both of them. And the chasing pack, Spurs and West Ham, they have a much more obliging fixture run-in. So I think it's going to be interesting, which is good from an FPL point of view because you're expecting the good players to start, none of them to be on the beach. So that makes things more predictable, I reckon.
Right.
Anyone an option still with the Champions League tie? The problem with Chelsea, and we'll talk about that, is that they have a Champions League tie this week before the double game week. And right after the double game week, 3 days after they play their second game, they have the FA Cup final as well. So I'm still think we're going to see as much rotation as we're used to when it comes to Chelsea.
I mean, the only player you can pick with any confidence, I think, is Mason Mount.
At the moment.
Because we said the same thing about Aspilicueta a few weeks ago, but you've seen he's missed two games now, I think, since we've come back from the international break. Rudiger could easily miss a game as well. The thing, there's squad depth, right? One thing I have noticed, though, I think Alonso has completely fallen out of favor. I think it's Chilwell. Even with the Champions League game sandwich, he preferred to play Chilwell on that side. And Chilwell made a great pass for the second goal. Chilwell passed it to Havertz, who passed it for Timo. And then again, another FIFA-esque goal with Havertz going inside. Timo was actually unlucky not to have a second assist. The shot that Ziyech hit straight at the keeper as well. He's not scoring, but the style of play is so key, right? Because the whole game, these guys were being told Fulham to press up the pitch by Parker, but Anderson just kept saying to him, I can't because Timo is just constantly running in behind me.
He's stretching the pitch. He's stretching that defense. That's what he's doing.
So I do think Timo is actually, like, obviously you can't really recommend him FPL-wise, but I do think he's going to start the majority of games as well.
Well, what do you reckon if Kai sits out the Madrid game? Do you think he's an option for that double game week?
I expect him to play only one. That's the problem with any Chelsea player besides Mount. Even Rudiger, to an extent, I can't be sure of playing the second game.
All right. Anything to add on this game? Chelsea, Fulham, Tom?
No, I don't think so. I think, Havertz is interesting, isn't he? If you knew he was going to play the Arsenal game, the second of the double game week, and get a cameo in the first, then I think it would be an option. But it feels risky. And I was surprised Alonso didn't start at the weekend. I thought he'd be a cert to start that one. But and it came at a bad week for some people who have held him as well with the postponement. But it's Chelsea and Arsenal. They're quite hard to invest in right now, I think, because it's hard to find those definite starters.
Yep. Chelsea have the busiest schedule of any team till the end of the season, especially if you make it to the Champions League final.
I remember as soon as while watching this game, I was texting you, I sent Zoff a message that Mount is actually the perfect glue guy for next season. I'm expecting him to come in around the 8 million mark. I think he's just such a good set and forget option in this in that price bracket because he's going to tick along in this Chelsea team and I see him nailed. I won't be surprised to just have him through most parts of the season next year.
Interesting you mentioned Havertz. I don't see Havertz playing the City game. I think our double game week is City-Arsenal, right? If I'm not mistaken. So I don't see him playing the City game because City game, we have a clear blueprint. You play Timo with one other guy outside of what we played in the FA Cup semi-final.
Correct.
So I don't think that game Havertz will play it. So I don't think he's someone you can invest in right now.
All right. Fair.
Everton Villa?
Tom, why don't you tell us about your boys in this game?
Yeah, I mean, we've been poor, but we were brilliant at Everton. I think it was our best performance in probably 2 or 3 months. Watkins set the tone from the front. Good pressing, good movement. He's chipping along really nicely now, Watkins. He's got returns in quite a few back-to-back game weeks, and it goes without saying he's a good option for the double, despite a couple of tougher fixtures, I suppose. Shout out to Barkley. It was his best performance again for a while. He covered a lot of ground. It shows what a difference having a good number 10 can make to the team. It's what we've been missing, really. And El Ghazi as well, he's interesting with Grealish out. Minutes has always been the problem with him because he gets a heck of a lot of shots off. He's on penalties, but it's just with Grealish lurking, and he's always going to be lurking with Dean Smith in press conferences. You never get that kind of, he's definitely going to be out so you can go and commit to an El Ghazi. But if we knew he was going to start both of those double game week games, he might be worth rolling the dice with. But it was just good to see Villa playing much better, good work rate. Team looks set up well. Traore played really well on the other flank. And, there's an outside chance that we could still get Europe. I don't think it's likely, but I think seventh place gets you into the Europa League this season. And, yeah, you know, it gives us something to play for the last few games. I think there's five to go now. So, yeah, really good performance. Everton, not convinced on them defensively at all, but maybe we'll come to that later on.
For Villa, I think the next three matches are key. The 37 and 38 fixtures, I remember, they were difficult, but I think next you have West Ham, Villa and Palace. The West Ham game is a tricky one, right?
We've got Man United and Everton in the double.
Sorry, I'm talking about Everton.
And then Palace.
Right.
So yeah, Everton, yeah. I mean, they've got Sheffield United as well, haven't they, after the double?
Correct.
What I noticed about Everton, again, was now that DCL's back, he was hogging majority of the big chances that Everton did get. So whenever Everton were playing, it was DCL at the end of everything. So he looks like a good asset for the next two game weeks, three game weeks, in my opinion. He's got good fixtures right on the end. They just got 38. In game week 38, they've got City. But outside of that, he's looking like a good option.
Yep. What do you think about the Everton defence? I noticed Holgate was at fault for the first goal. Do you expect him to start the next few games?
With the centre-backs, I just think it's a no-go because Ancelotti has been chopping and changing them for most part of the season. And it's the first time he's got all his defenders fit together is something I've read as well. So there's just no assurance. I think it's Dina. If you really fancy a punt, if you don't have enough cash for Dean, then you go for Coleman, who's been posting some good numbers as well. But I don't think he's as nailed as a Luka Dean is. I mean, one of the odd games I can, you know, maybe against United, I can see Carlo Ancelotti playing some Godfrey or something in that spot where Coleman plays to be extra defensive.
Yeah,
so.
Especially if James plays on that side.
Exactly. So,
I thought Allen and Gomez just offered no protection at the weekend. I mean, Gomez barely moved. I mean, Barkley was just running straight through them. And that kind of worry, they played a back four. It makes me think that for the double, they might switch to a three at the back because I know they had Mina and Keane available. It was a surprise they didn't go in with that setup at the weekend. But that kind of raises Digne's potential even more if they switch to a three, doesn't it? So, I think despite concerns about them defensively, Digne is so good going forward. I think he's worth a punt with the double, definitely.
And he was taking set pieces, I noticed. He was taking all the free kicks and corners. But do you think that was just because James was out?
He normally battles with them on that side, doesn't he? When you can do the in-swinger, it's normally him and James. And they've been kind of wrestling them off each other in recent weeks. But with no James, obviously, took ownership of them. So I still think James is going to take some of them if he's back. But I don't know the severity of the injury. He picked it up in the warm-up, didn't he?
Correct. Ancelotti played it down. He said it that I'm expecting James to play the next game.
I think Dean created two big chances that game. His numbers were very good. I think four chances created, two big chances created. Very good numbers.
And whipping crosses into the box, you know, with DCL there. And if he'd probably be the best. Him and Alexander-Arnold, if Liverpool get the double, him and Dean, probably the best two defensive picks, I think, this week.
Correct. Did you notice Siggy was playing in the front too?
Yep.
What do you guys think about that?
Again, you can't rely on what shape they're going to have once James is back, right? Because James was playing centrally in that position not long ago. So I don't know what to make of that. I just don't. I'm not convinced about Siggy as an option with James, Richarlison, and ECL.
No, I don't like him.
He's had two shots on target in the last four matches from 11 shots.
Yeah.
It's a shame Richarlison as well, because he's getting in some good positions, isn't he? He has been, but he just he's snatching at his chances a bit. Yeah. He hasn't really looked on it this year, has he?
No, he had this short period,
but I think in the last four matches, he's got the same XG as Calvert-Lewin, who's played two games to his four. That says it all.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll talk more about Everton in that when we get to that double discussion. This Newcastle-Arsenal. Newcastle offered absolutely nothing. They're almost on the beach, like you said, Ella.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually what I was confused all weekend in terms of what to do with my free hit, whether to free hit in 35 or 36. But Newcastle look absolutely on the beach. They looked miserable. I fancy a lot of goals in that game for City against Newcastle. So I think they're definitely a team worth targeting now. I think in their head, they know they're there. Arsenal also pretty interesting, you know, picks like Martinelli, Saka, etc. are worth noting, especially, you know, it's actually been on the back corner, the Arsenal picks, but they've got a good season running. Aubameyang did his thing as well. It was good to see after him recovering from malaria. Worth monitoring what Lacazette's injury is looking like, because if Arsenal do get out of the cup, they're worth punting on, I reckon, for the season running.
So you think it's better if they go out of the Europa League for FPL?
Yeah, of course, because then you're expecting the guys who start to start. That's all.
That's true, but then ultimately there's rhythm and all that. Now, I guess that probably that was going to be my next question. Is it better if they stay or go out? But I think if they go out, it's probably better FPL wise.
Yeah. Also, I mean, at the weekend, their first game is the game against West Brom, which is the game we're targeting. Now, what also happens is, they play the Europa League on Thursday. And so you'll be able to get at least some indication in terms of who's definitely or likely to play the first game against West Brom because of who's going to get benched in that Europa League game. So you might have some indications there.
Mm-hmm. Anything to add, Tom?
Yeah, I think Newcastle were really disappointing. They were so flat, weren't they? And they've actually looked pretty good in recent weeks, Newcastle. Since they reverted to a back three or five or whatever you want to call it, they look really good. And Saint-Maximin was looking good. Richie had been doing really well at wing-back. But it's just, yeah, just so flat, offered nothing. And Arsenal look good. I love Martinelli. He just makes things happen. And I think having Xhaka behind him at left back, who doesn't venture forward very much, he comes in field, it just allowed Martinelli to hold the width. And Martinelli's a great player because he can go in, he can go out. He might make a nice punt if he's... I don't think he'll start on Thursday. But again, it's kind of... you're going to get the one game, probably the West Brom game. I don't think you'll get two. It's a shame because he's... I can't believe Arteta started Nketiah over him the week before as his central striker. I can't get my head around that. I think Martinelli's a really good prospect, and he needs more minutes because he just makes things happen when he's on the pitch.
Agree. Mm-hmm. But I think it's what, 4.9, and is he a forward or a midfielder this year?
He's a midfielder.
He's a midfielder.
I think he's a touch over 4.9, isn't he? Could be wrong on that, but
somewhere around that. But tough to invest in Arsenal.
Yeah, it's around about the 5 million mark, isn't it? So. Mm-hmm.
Right. Every time we look at the Arsenal guys, though, in the head, the thinking is that there are better options.
Absolutely. Every time it's like, let me look at Arsenal like that.
Yeah.
It's 4.9, Zoe, if you're right.
And for those that don't have a free hit, there's no justifying going for Arsenal picks right now because they don't have a game in 36 either, right? So that's another disadvantage. We'll talk about that later.
Let's talk about Spurs, Sheffield United, one of the teams we will talk about as a single game week teams we can target in terms of form, motivation and bounce. LR, why don't you take this?
The most interesting thing about this game was Harry Kane. I thought, he didn't look quite up to the mark. I know he got six shots, but he's generally looked sharper previously. So I think he's still on his way to full fitness. He's not quite there yet. He looks like he's been rusting, is what I made of it. And also something that I noticed was the position of both the fullbacks. They were far, far, far up the pitch. I mean, Reguilón was inside the box on so many occasions. So that was convincing. But how much do you read from a game like this where Sheffield United basically handed it to Spurs on the play. They didn't need to work too much for their goals. The good thing about Bale is, again, you know, if he's playing, he's an absolute points machine, because in my opinion, he's probably one of the best finishers in the league. Like, even while, if you notice his second goal, there was zero doubt in my head that he's he's going to, you know, squander his chance or something. He's basically the anti Timo Werner. And even the third goal, he took that shot from outside the D, but in my head, I was just confident that this is going to go in. So that's what you get with Bale. Because if he's taking a shot, he doesn't, you know, screw it up. He puts the ball inside the net. So I think it's, again, great. I don't think it's late yet. I think he's a good option for the run-in.
Don?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been minutes with Bale, hasn't it? You know, when he's been on the pitch this year, he puts up brilliant numbers, great finish. I think with that second goal, he was clean through, wasn't he? He had a little look around and there was nowhere near him, and you just knew then that was going in. Great finish. Explosive player. Good for the run. I think Mason is going to let them express themselves a little bit more. I think he's going to get them playing a little bit more on the front foot. I know people were concerned about the City game, but and the way they played in that, but it's City. City do that to teams. They won't face City every week. They've got Wolves and they've got Villa coming up and Leeds as well this weekend. So they've got good fixtures. And yeah, really impressed with Raheelon. I put him in this week and yeah, really happy with what I saw and fortunate not to get that goal at the end. So yeah, they look good.
Even Aurier is an option now, I think. I think
yeah, and Dele Alli too as well back in the 11. So interesting.
Yeah, and the games that Spurs have, they don't really need to hold back in terms of a defensive formation going forward, right? They can let this stick because the opposition isn't really, really difficult, especially, I mean, they've got Leeds, Wolves, Aston Villa, and then there's a tricky fixture in Gaming 38 against Leicester. But if Leeds are without Calvin Phillips, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, that's key, isn't it? Yeah.
Right.
What do you make of Kane's performance, Tom? I'm interested in hearing that.
Yeah, I think I agree. I don't think he looked quite on it, and I don't know if that's a fitness thing or if he was just having a bit of an off day. I mean, he had chances, didn't he? But just Bale kind of stole the limelight, and a shout out for Son as well, who I thought was really good, and unfortunate not to get a massive fall as well. I mean, that offside was so close, wasn't it? So yeah, I'm really, really happy with Son. I mean, I did captain Son a few weeks back over Kane, and he was benched and he got a one pointer when Kane got the double at Newcastle. And I kind of questioned myself, but I do think that, I think Kane was ahead this week, but I can totally see why people went with Son and certainly Bale as well. It was the right matchup for them.
The numbers are interesting. Son this game week didn't have a single shot in the box. He had only two shots on target. I think Bale had five shots in the box, five on target. So I know Bakker keeps talking about how when Bale plays, Son has to take more of a creative role. Do you see that happening as well?
Six chances created in that game.
He's the most creative player.
Yeah, although you just felt with that goal of Son's, he was outside the box, but again, a bit like Bale, you just knew it was going in. Didn't you? You really thought that it just felt like, you know, he's so good at finishing. But yeah, no, there is definitely something in that. I think when you've got Bale and Kane on the field, that they're going to be the focal point of the attacks, and Son maybe does take up a bit of more of a creative role. But yeah,
also the Leeds game kind of suits Son, I reckon, because Son is the outball. You know, when Alderweireld is playing it from deep, Son is the outball, and they look to find him on more than a few occasions. So I quite like him.
He did well in the reverse fixture, didn't he? Because I had him captain for that, I think. And yeah, he did well out of it.
Yeah, so this game, actually, I think Son's my favourite option for the Leeds game. It's a difficult sell because if the Liverpool game week does come, which it looks likely, and somebody is wanting one or two more double game week assists, the first name that they're going to look at is Son. But Son has a good matchup this week, so it's not an easy decision.
That was going to be my next question. We shouldn't touch upon this here. Now, do you think it's worth moving any of the Spurs assets for double game week players? Tom, you first.
If I free hit, which I'm leaning towards this week, I will lose all my Spurs players just because I always put players with two games, you know, ahead. I would fill my team with 11 double game weekers, but it doesn't mean to say that's going to pay off, because you're losing Spurs players and you're losing, you know, players which can hurt you. That's just the way I play, though. I'll always favour the double game week player, but yeah, if you're going in with Spurs players this week, it could still be a good fixture. But Leeds have looked better defensive recently. I know they struggled a bit at the weekend without Phillips, but they have improved in recent weeks. It's probably not the Leeds that we were talking about at the tail end of last year. So.
I think it depends also with who you own. If, let's say if you don't own a Salah and Salah has a double, then I think you have to move for some sound for somebody like Salah, right? LR, where do you stand?
Yeah, I think you have to make the move. Again, but it comes down to the logic. If you're buying somebody who has the equal number of games in 35 and 36, you probably don't do it. But if you're picking up, let's say, Liverpool asset, go for it. Because they easily have the best looking double game week. And what's happening with the season run, and you've got four game weeks left now, you need to catch every haul that you can. I mean, that's something I realized this week, you know, because we were talking about, let's be honest, if I was making the moves that I did this week after the official double game week news came out, I would have probably screwed it up and gotten DCL and not moved on Bale because he doesn't have a double game week, you know. But I focused on the short term. I got lucky because I made the moves 15 minutes before the news came out and I managed to get the haul. So you need to catch every haul that you can. And there are 7, 8, 10 games that you can target. And Liverpool's double game week, likely double game week in 35 is one big one that you need to target.
Because I think when you need to, I'm actually thinking of Fernandes to Bale, not this week, but the next week, when Fernandes is likely to play Liverpool. And like, as we were talking about, 38 might have rotation as well with the Europa League. So I think it makes more sense to like maybe sell your double game week players or Spurs assets in 36, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what making me think.
But how do you even do that? How do you even sell Spurs assets in 36? Because in 36...
No, I mean, you sell your double, like, let's say you have a Bruno.
You sell your double gimmick assets in 36.
Yeah, well, that's what's making me think a free hit for me works this week, because I don't have any United. So I could bring in Fernandes and Shaw on a free hit. I don't necessarily need them in 36 or 38. It's probably just that Fulham game that you need to worry about a little bit. But I'd be happy to probably do that, which is making me kind of think, free hit is the play for me this week rather than 36. But we can talk about that later.
Right. All right. Let's just quickly move to West Brom Wolves.
I saw this game yesterday. It was pelting down. By the end, last 20 minutes, the ball wasn't moving. It was literally puddles on the pitch. It was a fun game to watch, actually. Both teams, Wolves looked a little bit better in the first half, but the second half, they gave up a lot of chances. Vitinha impressed me.
Yeah.
Good player.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, he was the standout player, wasn't he? And Connor Townsend, who's quietly been doing quite well for West Brom in recent weeks, put a great ball in for the goal as well. It seems like it's a little too late for West Brom, though, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I was in the FML FPL chat, and we were talking about this game, and we were wondering why Vitinha, you know, he looks so sharp and things haven't been working for Nuno at all. Why he hasn't been given a chance? And the first thought that came to me just was that Nuno seems like a template wanker, because he's not going to change things very, very quickly. It's just the impression that a Nuno gives you.
Oh, I can identify with that.
If Nuno was playing FPL, he'd be a sucker for you. I can guarantee you that.
I like Nuno.
I don't know about you guys, but when that silver goal went in, my first instinct was he chipped it over the keeper, and I was like, Jesus, what a goal! And I got my son over, and I was like, check this out, and then I got into the slow-mo, and I was like, oh man, like, what is this all about? But it was good to see him at least get a run out, and at least Nuno did switch it up a bit, because it needed a bit of a refresh after that burn game. And that's what they kind of need. They're safe, aren't they, obviously, so they just they should experiment with that a little bit more in the run-in.
I think Bolly is now pretty much out for the season. He's got long-term COVID issues, so I think they'll stick to a four the end of the season. It's worth mentioning Cody has completely stopped coming up for set pieces now. He sits on the halfway line, so I know there was talk about Cody being a set piece threat at one point. That's completely gone now.
The fixtures are terrible now, aren't they?
Wolves are a no-go from an FPL standpoint.
Yeah.
They're done. Worth talking about for the season now.
Right.
Burnley, West Ham. I thought Burnley were lucky to concede only
just one.
Two goals. West Ham were really, really good. And they sort of went all out attack, right? Except for Suchet, they were all attackers on the pitch. Lanzini, Fornals, Wanyama, Lingard, and Antonio. So they could have scored a lot more. Antonio could have had a hat-trick in the first half itself. So yeah, it looked really good for West Ham, and they certainly motivated to finish the season strongly. I think Antonio's very quickly sprung up as a very good differential option for the run-in. I like him as a shout post the 35 double.
It's interesting because I think the double game week has come at a bad time because there's so many differentials popping up. I think, but you can't even sort of look at them right away because you're almost like, you know, you have blinders on towards the double game week, guys. But there is a case for to say, like, do you think that Antonio can outscore somebody like, let's say, an Iheanacho or a Watkins with just one fixture? I think he could.
Yeah, he could, but the odds are in the favor of the guys. With
that's the
two
thing.
Games.
Like we, as FPL managers, we always going to back that way. And this is ultimately, this is not a planned double game week, right? This has only happened because of the fans thing. Yeah. So it's a bit annoying in that sense.
Yeah, but
if
I mean,
you could 37 might be a time if you could reserve a striker move then for Antonio to catch those last two games.
I wouldn't be surprised in 36, Iheanacho to Antonio is going to be a very tempted move, I reckon.
Lots
of people are going to make the switch in 36, I reckon.
That makes sense. Yeah, I'm trying to actually have two free transfers for 36 rather than 35 now.
Because
I think if you have, if I did this work, if you have Son and Iheanacho, you can do a swap for Rafinha and Aguero. It's self-contained.
Yeah,
so that's what I've got my eyes on.
Well, shout out to Craig Dawson as well, who couldn't get me 2 points. He had to get put for time wasting and get me 1 point. So thanks, Craig. So,
I think he has
since that bench boost where he just ripped it up for me, it's been shocking. Right, he's on -4 or something ridiculous. Like absolute madness.
I think you and Andy, let's talk FPL both only for that period. Yeah. And FPL,
I'll chat to him instead of boring you guys with it. So.
I think a negative 0.4 PPG or something.
Oh, that's the status. So, I mean, I just know, I mean, from the Newcastle game, we were out and I was checking my phone and it was like red card. And it's just been like week after week. It's been terrible. But you can't trust them defensively without Rice, can you? Although Soufal's look good. But you're relying on attacking returns, aren't you?
No, I think West Ham are going to be different defensively. No, I mean, Soufal's Antonio's back, and so is Cresswell. You know, you can't disregard that as well. So they've gotten two of their better players back. So it's a stronger team than it was. Yeah. Much stronger team than it was a week ago.
Good run in Everton, Brighton, West Brom, Southampton.
You want to go in on 36 for your West Ham attackers. Brighton, West Brom and Southampton, good to go.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried in the terms of the top four race. I was hoping Burnley would take points off them.
Yeah, yes.
It's going to work.
Especially with Chelsea against City this weekend. It gives them a bit of hope, doesn't it?
It does. That's right. Should we move on to the blanks and doubles?
Yeah, before we move on, I just want to say we've got around 500 people in the chat. So thank you guys for joining us. Make sure you're hitting the like and subscribe button because it really helps us with the algorithm. Get those likes to at least 100. It would be nice. We can start with the double game week chat. Now, first up, we have Villa. Their run-in looks fairly all right to me because they've got not a very easy looking double game week in 35 with United and Everton at home, and after that they have a good looking fixture in 36 against Palace, but 37 and 38 challenging games against Spurs and Chelsea. So if you're targeting, I if you're having an Aston Villa player, you hold them, but I wouldn't be buying one right now. What do you reckon, Tom?
Yeah, I think Watkins is a good option just because he's a 90-minute man. He's gonna play all of our games. He's looking, he's trying to get in the Euros squad. You know, he's got something real to play for. But yeah, I don't think defensively I'd feel much confidence with those fixtures at all. If you own a Martinez or a Konza, you probably play them. But Watkins, and if you do fancy a punt, dependent on team news, El Ghazi possibly, if it looks like Grealish is going to miss out on both games. Because I think we did leave him on the bench recently and played Ramsey out wide, but I think that was a tactic for Man City rather than anything we'll see too much going forward. So if he gets the minutes, he's not a bad option.
You think he's a free hit option for those? What we'll do is while we're talking about each team, we reckon if there are any options worth considering on the free hit. So do you reckon El Ghazi is a free hit option?
Yeah. Yeah, I would consider him, I think, but it's team news dependent. I'm certain that we're going to try and get Grealish back in the fold before the end of the season. He's going to want to play before the Euros, even if it is just limited, you know, coming off the bench a couple of times. I think we're going to get him on the pitch somehow. So I think it's just something to watch. I think if you're on a free hit, it might be the ideal one if he doesn't look like he's going to start. And we probably won't get hints from Smith about it, but you'll know from looking at training pictures if he's back out on the grass. So yeah, something to monitor. I don't think he's a bad option though, Ghazi.
What do you think behind the lack of clean sheets, Tom, the last 6 to 7 weeks? Is it the fixtures? Is it just a regression to the mean? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we did get quite fortunate. You know, when Martinez was getting those double-digit hauls week in, week out, and you look back at the game against Brighton and then Southampton, and we got a bit fortunate with that. We have improved defensively. Konsa and Mings have got a good partnership going on, but we're, you know, I think I'd pick a Villa defender on fixtures dependent. They're not week in, week out starters, and I don't see many clean sheets in that. Maybe one clean sheet in the last five games, maybe against Palace. But I don't see much in the double game way.
Agree.
Right. I don't have anything to add.
Let's move on to Palace.
Yeah, I mean, interesting looking double game week for them. They've got Sheffield and Southampton away, which are pretty obliging fixtures at the moment. And then the game after that in 36 is pretty good too against Aston Villa at the moment without Grealish. The run-in, I mean, 37 and 38 is fairly difficult for them, Arsenal and Liverpool. But the thing with me that worries me about Palace is that Zaha doesn't, you can't rely on him for fitness at the moment, because we read Hodgson's comments before the last game week, where he said that, you know, Zaha wasn't fully fit, and it was Zaha played only because Zaha assessed that he was fit enough to play, but there was a niggling pain after that. So it's very dependent on how he's feeling before the double game week. You go for that punt. I actually think if for those on free hit, I think Benteke is a decent shout this double game week as well. He's budget bracket striker option. Got two decent games this week. I'd fancy a bit of Benteke in game week 35, just as a cheap striker punt who's guaranteed to play two games.
Interesting. I think there are better options out there. What about the defense? I was actually looking at Ward as a, like, you know, budget defender somewhere to free up cash. Do you think there's a... I think they could possibly get a clean sheet. Maybe not against Villa. Maybe against Arsenal. Maybe one game in 35. What do you think?
Maybe against Sheffield. The best chance for the clean sheet is against Sheffield United.
Right.
That game screams sort of a nil or a 1-0 either way sort of a game to me. So that's the chance that they have.
Because I think in terms of defense... Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I'm considering Guatia. If I was on a free hit, I'd consider him in the nets. And then, yeah, Zaha, I don't know, it feels a bit risky. I like Eze, but he's a talent, but he's a bit raw. I don't think I could find space for him if you take Zaha out of that team. Probably just Guatia. Defensively, the fixtures are about as good as they get in a double game week, aren't they? You know, those two, they've got the best fixtures out of the lot.
And it's not like they don't keep clean sheets in the last 6-7 games. They've kept 3 clean sheets. They've kept clean sheets against Fulham, United and West Brom. So they do have those games where they're able to shut. You know, they're on it on the day. The team's built to shut the opposition out. So if it works, it works. It's not a bad shout for clean sheets, this team, Palace.
I think Zaha was my main target prior to the injury news. I was looking at possibly Jota to Zaha for this week, but I don't think that's going to happen now.
Yeah, and Jota isn't a sell anyway with Liverpool.
It's hard to take out now, isn't it?
And I'll just get this out of the way for the benefit of the listeners that actually don't know about this. So the rumors are, or what looks like the likely scenario, because United don't have a slot in which they can schedule that extra fixture. So Ben Crellin says that it's very likely that the Liverpool-United game actually moves into game week 36. So both Man United and Liverpool won't blank in game week 36, which gives Liverpool, the Liverpool-West Brom fixture, which was in 36, shifts to 35, which gives Liverpool possibly the best-looking double game week against Southampton at home and West Brom away. So that actually, if this happens, which we'll know about before Friday, I'm assuming, because it's this game week, it actually gives Liverpool the best looking double game week in game week 35. And that basically changes the entire game, in my opinion, because, you know, you'd have to think that earlier maybe Bruno or a United asset or maybe a Iheanacho was the best captaincy, but now it's hands down Mo Salah and, you know, Liverpool players who are the best captaincy options. So just wanted to get that out of the way because people might get confused with what we're talking about.
Yeah,
but don't make your moves until this news is out. We're expecting this news this week itself.
Because the only other possibility is that it gets added on to Game Week 38, which extends the season by a few days, which seems unlikely.
Yeah, and Game Week 38 doesn't work for United anyway, right? Because they play Game Week 38 on 23rd,
oh, right.
And three days later is the Europa League final.
So that's not even possible. So it literally, there's a very high likelihood that this is how it goes.
Someone in the chat is mentioning that they're talking about Liverpool having possibly a double in Game Week 36 as well. So even that's an option. So just watch out for the news in terms of what happens.
I think I remember discussing this with Niemi. I don't think that's possible because I think United's fixture clash. There's something that happens with Liverpool can't have the double in 36.
All right. It'll be interesting. I mean, you just have to wait for the chips to fall, I think, because that's going to decide what we do with regards to our moves.
Right.
So I just wanted to get that out of the way. We can move on to Everton now. Everton are definitely one of the teams to target right now. I think they will face heavy traffic in terms of transfers because the double game week in 35 is against West Ham and Aston Villa. Then they have Sheffield United at home in 36 and they have Wolves at home in 37. So good four games back to back. I mean, DCL looks like a very, he's number one on my striker in priority list at the moment, considering just the fixtures and if James is playing, and he's reliable because he's going to get most of the big chances that Everton create. I'm also looking at Dean. I'm not quite convinced with James and Sigurdsson as options in midfield right now because I don't know what the shape is going to look like. So I think just these two players are reliable. And if at all you don't have money, like I mentioned earlier, Coleman is a guy because he's been creating a fair amount of chances with the minutes he's getting. So his creativity stats are really, really good. Something that I looked at, and he's under 5 million. So if you're looking for a cheap defender, Coleman's the one to get, in my opinion.
Agree. Tom?
Yeah, Dinier and Calvert-Lewin are the ones I'd look at. I'm not convinced by the midfielders. I think there's doubts around the likes of Holgate and Keane and Mina. Coleman's actually looked pretty good over the last few weeks, but again, it's game time. But he takes up some good positions, and he was linking up quite well with James down that right hand side in recent weeks. So, but yeah, you just got to be prepared for the odd benching with that. And they have looked better away, Everton, as well. We should kind of point out as well.
Yeah.
I've had real problems at Goodison this year, but when they're on the road, they have improved. So, yeah, a bit of a no-brainer to invest in them, bearing in mind what comes after the double as well with the Sheffield United game.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point with Sheffield United and Wolves. And do you think somebody like Dean is worth a hit if you don't have like your free hit ship, obviously?
Yeah, possibly.
But yeah. The problem is the defense. Maybe they do better on the road because Ancelotti's post-match reaction was another loss at home. He almost sort of brushed it off. Like, it's almost as if they've written off, like, you know, that they're not. And that I don't like that because that shows to me a bit of a mentality that, like, you know, if the coach is saying that, that's obviously something that's trickled down to the players as well. And that Sheffield United Wolves game, it's at home. The away game, one of them is against West Ham. So I don't think the fixtures are as easy as they look on paper.
Yeah, I mean, the Sheffield United Wolves games are at home, but they are games against Sheffield United and Wolves. So I mean, it's the most... you like your defense playing against these teams at the moment because they don't score very many goals. So I wouldn't be too worried about it.
What I wouldn't give for
let's hope they switch to a back three as well. And if they do, then that's going to hopefully tighten them up a touch and give Digne that little, not that he needs it, but even more license to kind of get forward. So.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? I wouldn't be surprised to see that setup against West Ham or Villa, but
not against Sheffield and Wolves, but
not against Sheffield United.
No.
What do you think about those that fancy a punter? Charleston, for me, he's just not looked on it at the moment. I have, like you mentioned earlier, not convinced.
He gets into good positions and he's taking a lot of those shots across goal, but they just can't. Yeah, he's just not quite on it. DCL, he's the one who's getting the good chances, isn't he? I'd definitely favour him over Richarlison.
DCL definitely. DCL and Dini, I'm guessing, would be in your free hit draft if you're free hitting in 35.
Yeah. I think the last slot is between Watkins and DCL, but I think I'd favour DCL for those two fixtures.
Yeah, fixture-wise, you'd have to say that's a better play.
Yeah.
Should we move to United? LR, you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, Bruno went absolutely berserk in that Europa League game. And what changed, what that changes is, I won't be surprised to see maybe a couple or three of the starting guys benched in the Europa League game this Thursday, because we've got a comfortable lead. Like I'd be surprised if I saw Shaw starting in that game. I think Telles plays this game, which, you know, gives Shaw both the league games as well. So I think it's good for the United assets. Even if Bruno starts, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays 60, 70 minutes. So I think this is good for the United assets. Bruno and Shaw are the guys to go for. Now, what's happened with the other, and Rashford also starts every game, but he's, like we mentioned, he's not as effective on the right-hand side, and he's playing a fair bit on the right-hand side, because what's happening now is that we're playing a lot of our games, and certainly the Leicester game that we have in the double game week, I expect Pogba to play on the left-hand side, which means that one of Greenwood or Cavani sit out. What this means is that there is a constant rotation between Greenwood, Cavani and Pogba, and you're not reliant on any of them to be nailed assets at the moment. So essentially the picks are Bruno Fernandes and Luke Shaw, and nobody else is nailed. If at all you're looking for a punt who might get the most minutes, I think Rashford is your go-to guy there. And you also judge looking at the Europa League. But Cavani and Greenwood, both punts, I don't expect either to play both games. I'd be surprised.
Mm. What do you think about loading up on them. United players? I think you mentioned something about game week 38. You want to add on
also
that?
Yes. Also, so for those that are looking to buy United players, also something worth noting is their fixture is, they have Aston Villa and Leicester in 35. Then they have a not so easy game potentially against Liverpool in 36. Then the only game that I'm expecting us to play a full strength team is Fulham at home. And then in game week 38, we play Wolves away, but I'm expecting a lot of the big guys to be benched, because this game, or to be benched, or I expect them to play 60 minutes, because this game is 3 days before the Europa League final. Now, it looks very likely that we're going to be in the final. So I'm expecting a lot of the fringe players to play in game week 38. So we need to be careful in terms of our assessment and how you look at United assets in game week 38, especially considering it's just 3 days before the Europa League final.
Right. Anything to add, Tom, on United?
I don't think so. Wan-Bissaka, he's kind of, I read something the other day that he is starting to get forward a little bit more. It's not something which I've actually noticed, to be honest. Is there anything in that, or is Shaw that far ahead that it's not even worth a discussion?
Shaw is that far ahead. Shaw is essentially our left midfielder. He's, if you're looking between Shaw and Wan-Bissaka, it's no contest. And I'm expecting Telles to start this Thursday in the Europa League. Yeah. So you're getting a clean shot at Shaw.
Yeah. And I looked at Greenwood. I do like Greenwood. I mean, that was my decision 3 weeks ago. You probably the same, Brunel. It was Madison or Greenwood. And kind of sums up maybe my season a little bit, the fact that we went for Madison. But I do like him. But if you're only thinking one start and he gets the Leicester game rather than the Villa game, I don't know if that's kind of worth it on a free hit.
The thing is, you'll be able to judge, because the Thursday lineup will indicate who's going to start at the weekend. So that's going to give you a good indication.
Keep an eye on that.
Yeah. It's not spoken about enough, but even Pogba is a great punt, because if he's playing on that left-hand side, what works with Pogba is he creates a lot of chances, and also he's in the box for every cross that's coming in because of his physicality, right? So he's also a great punt, but again, we don't know how often he's going to play in the front four, and always got two setups where he plays Pogba deep and where he plays Pogba on the left, and that's depending on the opposition at the moment. So I can't clearly say he's going to be nailed at the moment.
Right. So we move on to Southampton. I don't think this will take very long. I think there's just the only player you could really talk about here is maybe Ward-Prowse or Armstrong. Yeah. Nobody in defense.
Tom was considering Ward-Prowse for the free hit. Tom, what do you think? What's your thinking there?
Yeah, I considered him. I think I'm looking at Southampton a bit like I did with Burnley in double game week 26, where they played Palace the first game of their double game week as well. And we were kind of looking at Palace and we were kind of thinking, well, a Burnley defender makes a lot of sense, but what kind of bit of data or what have we seen in the highlights that we could tap into to try and get an attacking return from somebody? And I'm kind of looking at Palace, and you kind of think, well, if Van Aanholt plays that left side, it does look as though you can take advantage of it. So do you look for somebody like Armstrong or even Walker-Peters or something like that? Or are you going to say, well, Ward-Prowse is on set pieces, he's on penalties, with Ings out of the team, he's a 90-minute man, or do you go for something like that and think, well, maybe a set piece is how this game's going to be decided? So I'm not against Armstrong, I'm not against Ward-Prowse, and I would imagine Walker Peters will probably be a filler for me on the bench. And Forster maybe. I mean, I think we've had some indication that he's going to start both of the games in 35, and then McCarthy's going to come back in for maybe the next two, I think was what I read. So obviously that's a cheap backup, got keeper sorted for you, or play twice just in case of any events which happen. But yeah, it's hard to get too excited about them with that Liverpool game. But if I was going to punt on a midfielder, it would be one of Armstrong or Ward-Prowse. And I quite like them both, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing to add. Just that the follow-up fixtures are pretty decent for Southampton as well. You know, yeah. So it's not a very bad shot because they've got Fulham at home, Leeds at home, and West Ham away after that. So it's someone you can just, you can buy a cheap asset and let him be in your team for a while. And if you need somebody from the bench as well, it could be useful. That's all.
What's remarkable about Ward-Prowse, he hasn't missed a single minute since the beginning of last season.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty high up on the midfielders. Scorers, isn't he? I'm pretty sure when I looked, I'm sure he was like top five or top six or something like that. I think that might have gone down a touch after the weekend. Yeah. But it is because it's that accumulation of minutes, and you've got to value that, haven't you? Where is he? He's number six, I think. He's just 2 points below Gundogan, and then Rashford ahead of him.
Considering his price, like five and a half.
Yeah.
5.8, I think.
But his points are so spread out, though, aren't they? You know,
he's just in every three or four games. He's just an avenues guy. I listen to FML FPL regularly, and they call this type of a player an avenues guy because he's on all set pieces, he's on penalties as well, and he takes the odd shot from outside the box as well. Mm. So just he's got multiple avenues to points, which works in his favor. So it's just sort of putting the odds in your favor a little bit. That's all, and it's unpredictable. That's all.
Right. Yeah. Should we move on to Liverpool?
Yeah. Now, how do we do this? Do we assume that they get the double?
Let's assume they have a double. If they don't have the double, then it's like, you know, you continue on as usual.
All right, fine. So, assuming that Liverpool have the double game week against Southampton and West Brom, I think Mo Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold are absolute no-brainers. You don't need to think about getting these two players in your team. I don't even think that you should consider Robbo over Trent. Robbo, in addition to Trent, is a conversation that is worth having, but you need to have these two players, especially because the run-in is great. They potentially have United in 36, but after that, Burnley away in 37 and Palace at home in 38. So you're holding on to your Liverpool guys until the end of the season. Who do you think is the right... I'm assuming that all three of us think that Trent and Salah are the first two guys to have from Liverpool. Who do you think is the third guy to get?
I mean, there's a debate, I think, between Robertson and Jota, right? I don't think Mane is probably just way too expensive. He doesn't warrant anywhere near his price tag unless you're on a free hit. Then maybe you go there. You can't really consider Firmino. He's not.
He's a great free hit punt, Mane. Absolutely great free hit punt.
Exactly. Only on a free hit, but you're not going to move your other big hitters around otherwise. And you know the defense, like it wouldn't surprise me if they concede again in both those fixtures, if they concede to United, Burnley. So I wouldn't want to double up on their defense. So probably Jota.
You probably go Jota. Tom?
Yeah, I agree with the defence. I mean, I don't have that much confidence with Kabach and Phillips at the back to put 14 million into the defence or whatever. So I think Alexander-Arnold's the one. And then it's Salah plus one midfielder, and that's Jota or Mane. Now, because I'm on a free hit, I kind of want something exciting. You know, you want to get a player which other people who don't have the free won't be bringing in. And he is that kind of player. It looked as though he was building a bit of confidence against Leeds when he scored. And then they had the match against Newcastle when he missed quite a few opportunities.
It was against Newcastle.
Yeah. Took up some good... He was getting the chances and you thought, I need a goal here, and he didn't get it. But he is one of those players, if you're on a free hit, that is worth a look, I think. But then Jota, that going back to that Newcastle game, you know, I know people were really frustrated with that, but I value forwards getting chances. And I think that he's still a really good play for the double game week, because he will get minutes. You know, what do we think? He'll probably sit out one, maybe two of the last five,
I mean, it's interesting, right? It was interesting that we got the team sheets for that game, even though that game was called off, right? We saw Jota was on the bench there. So I think that was possibly a tactical thing. So
Exactly.
You'd
say that Southampton, West Brom, Burnley, Palace, you'd say maybe two out of these four games you're expecting the front four to start again in an attacking setup.
Especially Fabinho is back. That was most encouraging to me on the team sheet. I saw Fabinho in midfield again.
Yeah, that actually increases Liverpool's attraction to Liverpool's attacking assets a lot. But what do you think? Do you think the minutes are going to be split between Mane and Jota? How do you see that panning out?
It could be even with Firmino, right? Jota can play for Firmino. I think out of minutes-wise, we'd have to say Salah is probably the safest. But then I think Jota could get as many minutes as Mane or Firmino. But it's a price, right? This is just 7 million compared to the other guys.
Well, that's it, and it allows you to put money into other areas of your team and maybe boost your defence up a little bit. Mane, it's hard to fit him in because presumably most people are going in with Salah and Fernandes this week. So it is hard to get him in, but if you are on a free hit and you do fancy like a real, real differential, then I'm not against that.
Yeah, I'm not against Mane on a free hit either. I think it's just... he's been terrible, let's face it, for most of the season when it comes to finishing. But he's just someone... It's a stick and hope kind of a situation because if he's playing, he's going to get the chances. It's just about whether he's having a good day or he's going to continue with the trend of the season. But it's definitely a shot worth taking on free hit with you guys on that.
Right. Should we move on to Arsenal
again? I was just worth noticing also, I was looking at the minutes in the last six games or so. Salah's played about 40 minutes more than Mane, who's played about 30-40 minutes more than Jota. So it's not... there's not too much in it. And I can't even comfortably say that Salah's nailed, you know. But I'd be very surprised if he's not playing. Right.
Now they've had 2 weeks rest because they didn't have a game this weekend as well.
Yep. Salah captain, easy if the double game week goes ahead.
Pretty much.
For me, yeah.
Also, just while we're here, let's discuss this scenario. If at all Liverpool don't have a double game week in 35, is it worth selling their assets to fund other double game weekends?
That's an interesting question. I mean, they're definitely going to have that fixture at some point in the season. So you have to keep in mind they have one fixture up on everybody else.
Yeah,
so and it's still even if they get one, it's still Southampton at home, isn't it? So it's still a good fixture for them.
Right. So you just hold on to them because they're one of the few teams that have five games to play.
Right. I think it's a bit different, I guess, if you have Jota. I mean, Salah, you probably, you're sure he's starting. He's got a good chance of a haul. But if I had someone like Jota moving him on to Ward-Prowse, upgrading a defender to a Dean, something like that possibly appeals.
Fair enough. And then you can always get him back because of his price. He's an easy transfer.
Transfer, that's my point. So if they don't have a double, then probably I would say Jota is the most expendable of the three.
All right. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even mind selling a Trent for a Dean, for example, if they don't have a double, because you're not really, the defense isn't reliable at the moment.
So, with Fabinho back, I'm a bit more confident though.
Fair.
In the midfield.
I just think it's a fair enough move to fund someone like a...
Absolutely. The upside is there.
Although
and technically they have
the same... He's a cash cow, right? He's a cash cow.
You don't have the same number of fixtures.
Technically, they do. Yeah. But you do have transfers. I mean, I'm guessing most of the teams that people have are fairly sorted. And there are about 8 or 9 players who are not going to be moving blocks in the team at the moment. So, assuming all of that.
Correct.
He's a cash cow. So, you can afford to downgrade and then get back later for Burnley Palace if you want to.
Arsenal? Anything to talk about?
I mean, their fixtures after are also good, right? Palace away, Brighton at home.
Correct, but I think we had a better position to probably talk about that next pod after the Europa League. Right? Yeah. For this double, with one of them being Chelsea away, the Europa League, the congestion, the rotation.
But it's interesting to ask, Tom, if any of the Arsenal players are worth consideration on free hit, Tom, with West Brom at home and Chelsea. Are you looking at any of those players?
Again, I think the lineup will be key, won't it, on Thursday? But it's just picking out the definite starters. I think West Brom is 72 hours after Villarreal. Yeah. Like I say, I love Martinelli. I think, you know, he could be an option for the West Brom game. But I don't know if there's enough upside there to put him ahead of somebody who's definitely going to play 180 minutes over those two games, like an Armstrong or a Ward-Prowse or something like that. I'm not sure if he's quite above them. But it's a shame because an Arsenal, you know, I've got Saka in my team at the moment. But again, you can't see him starting that. He's going to start on Thursday, isn't he, if he's fit? So he's not going to start West Brom. So then you basically got him in for the Chelsea away game. And that's not, you know, it's a double game week player, but it's not a great option. So,
I don't see it happening, but what if Oba doesn't start on Thursday, Tom? Does he tempt you at all?
No, I don't think so. It's just this, because then you're talking about premiums and you're talking about, then you've got like Salah, Fernandes. I'd probably prefer Vardy, to be honest.
And if you're punting, Mane is a better punt in my head.
Yeah, I think so. It's a very difficult price point. If you're going to go for anybody from Arsenal, you're probably going to want to go budget, aren't you? And just fill your bench out with a Smith Rowe or a Martinelli or something like that if you think they're going to get the start. But it's hard to elevate them into a free hit team 11, I think. And defensively, you know, Luiz is out again now, so people who have got holding, they're probably going to get a few more games than what maybe they thought, but I don't think there's any real options, is there? There's a rotation at fullback with Bellerin and Chambers, Lino and Ryan are rotating in goal, so it's very hard to pick out a good asset there.
Yep, agreed. Anything to add, Zoff?
Let's move on to Chelsea.
Your boys, what? Anything? Any options at all? We discussed this earlier as well.
It's interesting because what happened is the FA Cup final is just 3 days after the Arsenal game, but the top four race is very much alive, it's very much hot, so I don't think we can afford to rest players in either of these games. Now, I know we kept a clean sheet against City in the FA Cup semi-final, but City played a bit of a weakened team that game. They didn't play a few of their big guys. So this game is probably going to be City's title coronation, right? It would have happened if Liverpool had beaten United, City would have already clinched. But if they beat us now, they clinch the title. So they probably go strong on this. They have a good turnaround from Tuesday also. Yeah. So I'm not sure I see a clean sheet against City. Against Arsenal, there's a good chance. I think if you have the likes of Rudiger, you could probably still play him, but I wouldn't be buying anyone from Chelsea. Maybe.
What's the situation with Rudiger? Is he fit now?
Yeah, it was only a facial injury. It wasn't a muscular injury. So I expect him to be available for Madrid. We should get some news on that. So play our Rudigers, and I expect Mendy to play both games. I don't think we'll be seeing Kepa again.
Any advice to the free hitters in terms of Chelsea assets to punt on?
I mean, the only one you can really punt on is Mount, but with those fixtures, I don't see his ceiling as very high.
So no Kai, no Werner, no Ziyech. Not Kai also.
I mean,
like you mentioned, you're not expecting him to play City game.
I don't expect him to play City game, so you're just getting him for the Arsenal game. So I think there are better options.
Right.
What about the defence, though? So if you're on a free hit, would you include a Chelsea player or a defender or a goalie, or would you kind of look elsewhere?
I mean, I'm thinking what we'll do at the end, we'll do our top three players in each position, right? And I'd be surprised if any of us pick a Chelsea player. Maybe we get one clean sheet, but I do think there are better options. On a free hit.
Yeah.
Very short.
Leicester?
Leicester. Newcastle at home and United away. That Newcastle at home fixture, I think, is a really, really good fixture for Leicester, considering what Newcastle showcased against Arsenal in terms of performance. So, because the players to target are obvious, Vardy, Iheanacho, and Castagna. Iheanacho and Castagna on a free hit would absolutely be there in my team if I was free hitting in 35.
Even with United away?
Yeah, even with United away. Castagna is essentially just a winger who's in there to get his shots from inside the box. He's actually more attacking than Madison in terms of what I've noticed in terms of eye test. And he's classified as a defender. So I'd have Castagna and Iheanacho in there for sure. And then you think about whether you want to punt on a Vardy or a Madison.
Interesting. Yeah. Tom? What do you have? What Leicester assets are you looking at for your free hit?
Yeah, Castagne, Iheanacho, and Vardy is in my draft at the moment because I do like that Newcastle game. We'll hopefully get a bit of a heads up on the lineup maybe a little bit earlier on the Friday, so we could get an idea to who's starting. But you'd expect Vardy to start. I actually quite like Tielemans for these games, but I think the games could suit him. But again, too hard to fit in. The only thing you do have is the FA Cup final 3 days after the Man United game. But that CL qualification is key for them, isn't it? You can't see them resting anybody for that, I don't think, anyway.
Especially after the draw against the Saints. I don't see them resting anybody.
So that's the good thing with Leicester. I think you can pick Castagne, Iheanacho and Vardy and feel pretty confident that you're going to get two starts out of them. And especially if you're on a free hit as well, because you don't want them after that, do you? Because they've got the blank and then they've got two tougher games. So it's kind of like a bit of a swan song for them, I suppose. But yeah, I'll probably triple on Leicester, I would have thought, if I do free hit.
Yeah, what do you think about the cheap defenders like Fofana and Johnny Evans? Any of them with them?
Don't mind. I mean, Evans has chipped in with a couple of goals recently, hasn't he? But I think if you've reading
the scout article that he's actually got more points than Castagna in the last six or something like that.
Yeah. Well, he's got a couple of massive balls, hasn't he? But I think I don't know. I think if you've got that bit extra to go for Castagna, I think it's worth it. You look at the positions that he takes up in the final third, and he's a pretty exciting player to watch. And that's what I envisioned Ricardo Pereira to be doing when I brought him in on my wild card, and it didn't quite happen for him. But Castagna is taking up those positions now. Looks dangerous. Newcastle at home, like you say, Newcastle are an odd team. You think they're going to be terrible, and they just have this ability to throw up a good performance every now and again. And that goes back to Steve Bruce at Villa's days as well, where you'd be terrible for two or three games and just out of nowhere you pull something out of the bag. You just hope that it's not going to be this Friday, and you can rely on those Leicester players to get you a 2 or a 3-0 and a few points. Because that's the key game, isn't it? United away in isolation isn't a great fixture for them. But if they've done well at Newcastle and then you add a couple of appearance points on, and maybe a goal for Iheanacho or something out in that, then you can have a good week, I think.
Yep. Well, while we're here, let's discuss captaincy options if Liverpool don't have a double game week. Where do you go? Bruno?
Yep.
Yeah, Tom? That's where I would go. Yeah, the same. I was looking at before all of this with Liverpool kicked off on Sunday. You know, I built a bit of a free hit team, and it was involving Fernandez captain, and probably like a Rashford or a Greenwood. But obviously, that spot is now lost for Salah. So Bruno would be a good vice, I think, if the double game week does go ahead for Liverpool.
Yeah. I'd be tempted by Iheanacho, I reckon, because of that Newcastle at home fixture as well.
Yeah,
that's a pretty decent.
Even with United away. I don't know, maybe I'm giving you guys too much credit. I just look at that fixture, and every time I go, that doesn't stay like it's like a 1-1 nil-nil sort of game.
Yeah, it is, but Iheanacho is in the form of his life, and Newcastle is a single game week captainable fixture right at home for an Iheanacho, considering the statistics he's been getting. So I reckon that's a decent outside shot. That's all.
I think there are better options.
Fair.
Do we want to discuss West Brom at all, or shall we skip?
There's not much there. I mean, I don't know, Pranil, what do you think? I mean, there's not much to get excited about there, is there?
No, I think the season's pretty much done for them. So, I mean, Pereira, if at all, a punt. But Liverpool and Arsenal in that double game week doesn't look...
If they had won yesterday...
The thing with West Brom, though, are they're attacking irrespective of opposition. So, defender is definitely a no-go. But you don't mind punting on their attackers because they seem to have an all-out attack philosophy at the moment.
Yeah. That's all. They will go for it, which bodes well for Liverpool, doesn't it? If you are captain in Salah as well, because there will be space.
Right. So let's just do quickly our top three assets in each position. Let's just do defenders first. Ella, what are your top three defenders for game week 35?
Shaw, Castagna, Dean.
Tom?
If Liverpool get the double, we're presuming this, yeah?
Then Trent would be in there.
Yeah, so Trent, Digne, and then one of Castagne, I'm sure, and I can't decide yet. But that's basically where I'm at.
You guys are a lot bigger on Castagne than I am. For me, it's a pretty clear. If Liverpool have the double, it would be Trent, Shaw, and Dean in that order.
Okay.
But it's interesting that you guys are so big on Castagne. I just don't trust the Leicester defense is something... Every time they play, I just feel they're going to concede.
I see him as a 6 million Leicester midfielder who gets points for clean sheets. That's my perception of him. Because I think he's that attacking. So that's why the upside. And this is only for free hit because you're not looking to buy Leicester assets in the long term. Because they have a blank in 36 and they have a Chelsea and Spurs in 37 and 38. So this is only for the free hit guys.
Fair enough. Midfielders, top three. Tom?
Salah. Fernandez, and then I'm going to say Jota. It would be Jota or Mane, but I know that I've selected two kind of premium, so I'll stick Jota in there as well because I think he'll start at least one of the games, and if he starts, he's a brilliant option.
Yeah, because the lack of midfield options, right? I was trying to compile them myself. There's not the defense actually jumps out far more than the midfield.
Yeah, which is why I did consider a 4-3-3 on it. But yeah, because if Zaha isn't going to be fit, that takes out somebody else. So yeah, Fernandes, Salah and Jota for me.
I'm calling it now. Madison is not going to be on your free hit and he's going to haul and we're going to have this discussion on Twitter. I can just
we know this.
From a million
we know this.
Away. Yeah.
Yeah, we know this. Yeah. Dawson's going to score as well, isn't he? The one we're going to do. You just know it.
But in that budget bracket mid, let's have a pick that you like most. Let's put Jota aside because there are a few options, and you know the Everton guys and the El Ghazi and Madison. Who do you have in that budget, like 6-7 million bracket?
I'd probably be tempted by one of the Southampton duo or El Ghazi. It's quite a hard choice because the El Ghazi pick is based on what team news we get. So I'm going to disregard that for now until we know. I'll say Ward-Prowse. No.
Apparently, there's news that Mourinho has just signed for Roma and he's going to be managing Roma for the second leg of the Europa League.
You're joking.
Whoa.
No, this just popped off in the chat right now. Interesting.
No way.
That's brilliant.
Wow, I wasn't expecting him to go to Roma. I definitely wasn't expecting him. But let's see
he
what he does.
Well in Italy.
It's exciting because he generally does well with the underdog club. So it's
really, they like him in Italy. His reputation isn't tarnished in Italy.
He did brilliantly at Inter.
All right. Zoff, your top three myths?
Salah, Bruno, and the third one, I'm actually struggling a little bit. Who I would say not even Mount, not what? Prowse, Greenwood.
Greenwood. All right. Fair enough. If I was on free hit, I'd have Salah, Bruno, and I'd try to find cash for money because I don't know where I'm going to spend that money. But if it's, in consideration against a third big hitter, I'd go for Mane over a Vardy.
You would go Mane over Vardy. Yeah, that's what's kind of I'm playing with at the moment. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I'd go for Mane over Vardy, like you said, right? It's just that very high upside differential because the chances do fall to Mane. So it's about whether he's having a good day or not. That's all. With Vardy, right? He's still not getting the bulk of the chances. That's my reasoning for going for a Mane over a Vardy on a free hit. That's all. Yeah.
So I think we
forwards?
Should... Forwards? Forwards. I'll go first. I think let's say Iheanacho. I think he leaps out right away. Calvert-Lewin. There's nobody
those
really
two
from
me as well.
Iheanacho, Calvert-Lewin. And the third one really... Third one, nobody really jumps out right because United don't really have a forward you can bank on. Palace... Really don't
get Watkins.
I guess probably Watkins.
All right. Nobody else jumps out. You're right. Leicester, West Brom, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, Southampton, United. Nobody.
So yeah, if you're going for something that front three, you can easily accommodate Mane in midfield.
Yeah, it depends. It's the Vardy thing, isn't it? I think if you pair Vardy with Iheanacho, then it makes it very difficult to, or almost impossible to go with three premiums in midfield. Somebody mentioned Che Adams earlier as well. I can't put him ahead of Watkins or DCL, though it does look like he will start both games. Just another forward to throw another name in, really.
Yep.
All right. Before we move on, I just want to quickly run down the non-double game week teams as well and just... maybe have a little bit discussion about a buy or a sell before the season run in. Brighton, I don't think we can talk about them at the moment. Wolves, West Ham, City, Arsenal. Burnley, those who own a Chris Wood, would you sell? Fulham, Leeds, Liverpool, Sheffield United. I own Chris Wood. What do you think? I'm looking at to upgrade him to DCL at the moment because of the fixtures. What do you guys think?
I don't think you should be losing Wood, mate. I had to get one in.
Yeah, of course.
I'm surprised it lasted this long. What is it? Yeah, it did all right. It did well, boys. Well done. I think I'd sell it. I'd sell him for a double game week player, I think.
Fulham, nothing to talk about at the moment. Leeds United, like we mentioned, their defense is what does it is looking pretty shaky without Calvert Phillips at the moment. Manchester City is... worth talking about right now because they have Chelsea, but after that they have a pretty decent run in Newcastle, Brighton and Everton. I think they will play Mahrez and Foden and the starting team guys in those last two games against Brighton and Everton. Maybe even a KDB was an option for 37, 38. Just wanted to get this in.
Maybe scattered minutes.
Yeah, he's going to have to play him. He's going to have some game time, isn't he? You're not going to throw him into a Champions League final having had 2 weeks off.
And so, even what discussion is, it's not going to be very easy to predict that City team in Gaming 36 against Newcastle also, because they have a whole week before that Newcastle game. So
they do, yeah. It's the first game of the game week, isn't it? It's the Friday night kickoff.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I can at least do the Aguero Instagram thing, Zoff, to know if he's going to be in the squad at least. He's definitely going to be in the squad.
I mean, he's definitely going to be in the squad, and I think he's definitely going to start. That's probably the safest picture. I mean, even Pep knows his X3 against Newcastle.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
but let's just do a quick one of three assets to target apart from the double game week team. And like, you know, I'd say for me, it would be Bale, Antonio, maybe Wood.
Yeah, I'd say Bale, Antonio. Even Son, if you don't have Son, like, I like Spurs for the run-in a lot, and I like the West Ham guys for the run-in a lot. And I actually think in the last three game weeks, Amaris is a good option as an outside punt. I actually like him for Newcastle as well, because he's got that upside and he's first choice. And I expect Pep to play him in those games, because the rhythm thing, right? Even a KDB or Amaris, I think they're good options, good cheeky options for the run-in.
Yeah, because nobody owns them now.
Nobody owns them right now, and they're not going to not play for 3 weeks before the Champions League final. Pep has to play them. So, yeah.
Definitely. Tom, your top three?
Yeah, I'm similar to you. I like Bale. I like Antonio. And I also think Raheelon, who I brought in this week, I think he's getting forward. I think that you look at those. Part of the reason for bringing him in was I knew I'd free hit at the time this week, and then you've got Wolves and Villa at home, which I think are really good games where Tottenham they'll be able to take the initiative in those games, get the fullbacks high up the pitch. And I think he's, when he's given that freedom, he's one of the best fullbacks you can own, I think, in this game. So, I like him. And it wouldn't surprise me if Dallas chips in with a goal between now and the end of the season as well. He loses a bit of that appeal, doesn't he, at left back? But I think he had a chance in the second half, which was when he was coming from that position.
Right.
He still managed to get forward and he kind of hit over the bar. But it wouldn't surprise me if he gets a haul between now and 38.
Yeah, even Rafinha, for that sense, Matt, I'm just waiting till he gets back. The last two features look really good.
Yeah, that's the transfer I've got penciled in for 36. If I free hit this week, then I'll still have Madison. And so Madison to Rafinha and then maybe Welbeck to Calvert-Lewin would be a way of getting around 36 and getting some good players in for the run-in who look good for two or three games.
And people in the chat are asking if Ferran Torres for the run-in is a shot. I don't think so, because I think he needs to play the first team in those finals.
He was my transfer in on Friday. I was waiting on the Leicester team news from Sam Martin, who always delivers with it early. And if Madison hadn't been starting, that was my transfer, Madison to Torres. If Pereira wasn't starting, it was Pereira to Raheelon. And of course, Sam delivered with it just before the blackout. And I went for Raheelon. But Torres, I really liked him for that game. But I always worried that he was great for this week, but it might create a problem further down the line. And I still think that is probably the case, isn't it?
Agreed.
You can't guarantee it. So, but I did like him for that Palace game.
All right. Let's move on. We have a lot of questions actually coming in for those that do have chips left in terms of when to free hit, when to bench boost. I think what we can do, Zoff, is if Tom can take us through his team and why he's looking at free hit, and then I can...
Do you want to skip the captains? I think we sort of covered it already, right? In the last section, we can skip this game week 35, in fact. It's 35, isn't it?
Yes.
35 fiction. I've got it wrong on the slide.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Game week 30. So we can skip that. We already did the captains. Bruno, Salah, etc. So, let's bring up Tom's team. Go ahead, Tom.
So this is the slide with my team as it stands in 35, right?
Correct.
So, so you can see what the team actually looks pretty good on paper this week. There's no massive holes in it. I don't think the double game weakers are maybe optimum in midfield with Madison and Saka.
Tom, for the benefit of the listeners, I'll just quickly read out your team as well. So Tom's team, he's got Mendy as keeper at the moment. In defense, he's got Trent, Dean and Reguilon. In midfield, he's got Salah, Madison, Lingard, Son and Saka. And up front, he's got Kane and Iheanacho. You can go on now, Tom.
Yeah, so I mean, like I say, it doesn't look like a bad team on paper. I don't think that Madison and Saka are brilliant picks, but they are. They do at least on paper have two fixtures. But I kind of feel like I want to attack this week. I think coming up off the back of a good game week, it gives me an opportunity to really go for it and pick 11 double game week players. I did look at 36, but I'm pretty well set for 36 already. I've got 11 starters. Got a free transfer, so I can get up to 12 easy enough. So it's not an obvious week to play it this week when you look at that team, but we're running out of time now, and a double game week feels like a right time to attack it, try and get into the top 100k and finish strongly. So that's where I'm at with at the moment. I'm leaning towards playing it. We'll watch the European games and then see where it lies after that. But on a free hit, Guatia will probably be my keeper. Alexander Arnold, Digne, and then one of Castagne or Shaw, Fernandez, Salah, probably Jota. We talked about maybe Mane, and then, you know, Calvert-Lewin, Iheanacho, possibly Vardy. You know, there's a few pieces which still need to be put in, but it's kind of get. I know roughly what I'll be doing, I think. But I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think it makes sense to free hit this week given my position?
Yep. Yeah, especially because you have 11 in 36.
Yeah. So exactly. So I was just counting. I think you'd probably retain just four players from your existing team if Liverpool have the double. That being said, I think Alexander Arnold, Dean, Salah, and Iheanacho. These are the four guys who would probably stick around.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so it's a big turnover of players, isn't it? I'm kind of siding towards that at the moment. So
it makes sense.
Yeah, and kind of just try and have a big game week and then just decide on Vardy or Mane kind of later on in the week. And then that will kind of, it'll almost be done then, I think, at that point.
Yeah, it sort of picks itself. It's not a very difficult team to pick this week, I reckon. What do you reckon if Liverpool don't have a double game week? Will you have any Liverpool or Spurs guys in your team? It makes it more interesting, I reckon.
That's why... It's kind of made it a bit easier to navigate, hasn't it? With this fixture just get moved to 35, and then you don't have the blank in 36 as well for the teams involved. So, yeah, I think I wouldn't include any single game week. I'd really attack it. I think I'd go with 11 double game week players regardless. That's what I'll do. It's now or never really, isn't it? I suppose at this stage of the season where... If I was ranked a lot higher and I was inside the top 10K, I might look at it differently. And I might look at players like Salah, even if they had a single game week, and think, well, look, you know, it's worth holding on to. But in my position, you know, I want to kind of make it respectable, I suppose. And so, yeah, it'll be 11 double game week players and we'll go for it, I think. So.
Well, what happens if Liverpool have a double game week in 36, which is what Ben is... sort of talking about on Twitter, then they have a double game week against United and West Brom, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
That's also, I don't know if that changes too much. We've spoken about the captaincy options in 35 without Liverpool, and then Liverpool becomes a no-brainer captaincy options in 30.
I mean, that makes his free hit even better, right? Because then he gets to lose Salah for this week and get Salah back for captain next week.
Yeah. I haven't really looked. I hadn't even heard that 36 was even an option, to be honest. Yeah. I haven't really looked into that.
From what I'm reading in the chat, is just Ben's comments. He's replying to a few people in terms of possibilities and options.
That's good to know. I mean, I didn't activate the free hit chip at the week. You know, I was tempted on Saturday night to do it. But it's been an odd season, hasn't it? And I'm glad it's still open and I haven't activated anything. So let's see what happens.
Just want to say something to those that are wondering how to make this decision in terms of when to free hit. What really you need to do is you need to sit with a pen and paper and you need to make potential free hit teams in 35 and 36, given the scenario, see what they look like. And then you need to sort of see what you're gaining and losing in both weeks. Weigh that up and then make that decision. So you do need to do this rigorous exercise, which will help you with the decision. Before that, you're not going to be able to come close to what you want to do. Zoff, you can move the slide to my team, you know, where I can take our listeners through the decision.
I'm going to pop to the loo and be back really quick.
All right, fine. Is it on my team?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine. So just for the benefit of the listeners, I'm taking you guys through my team. I've got Martinez, Shaw, Trent, Rudiger, Bale, Madison, Salah, Greenwood, Kane, Iheanacho, and Wood. And on my bench, I've got Reguilon. So it was really confusing without the Liverpool double game week news. It was really confusing for me in terms of what to do, because in game week 36, I just have 7 starters at the moment, but there was a lot more upside in game week 35 with the double game week options. But if Liverpool do have a double game week in 35, it's a lot easier because I have Trent and Salah in my team, which gives me around 8 double game weekers. And then I can maybe lose Bale for a Jota, upgrade a Wood to a DCL, and then free hit Bale back in 36 if things look like they're gonna the way they're gonna. But either way, the decision that you need to make is jot down your teams and see how many players you have in 36, which is a blank game week, and then decide when you need to free hit. If you've got a good enough team for 35 and 36, even 38 is a good option to free hit, where you'll have clarity in terms of who the likely starters are going to be. And we generally see a lot of surprises in game week 38. So given that season,
I think a lot of people free-hitted in 38 last season, didn't they, after Project Restart? And it, I think, if I remember right, it worked out pretty well for a lot of people. So if you free-hit in 36, I presume you'll target that City game against Newcastle. Have you got anything else in mind of specific fixtures?
I do have specific fixtures. I think there are decent specific fixtures to target in 36, which other players might not have. So I really like the City game against Newcastle. I think you go in with 3 City, play the odds. I think that Everton game against Sheffield United at home is worth targeting as well. So I'm probably looking to go in with 3 Everton as well. And then there
So Digne, Calvert-Lewin, and then what, a midfielder or a double defence? Or what would you do?
I'll judge, right, after the double game week. I think that West Ham and Villa game will give us a fair bit of information, but that fixture is worth targeting. And then I think you go in with 3 Spurs against Wolves at home as well. Kane, Bale, Reguilon, or something like that. And then you can sprinkle it. There are enough fixtures to target. You have Leeds playing Burnley. So if Rafinha's fit, he's somebody who can get in your team. West Ham play Brighton. And Antonio is a great punt for 36 on a free hit as well. So I think there's a good enough player pool in 36 to target.
I think it's really good as well, because players who aren't are going to probably have 4 or 5 involved in that Liverpool Man United game, aren't they?
Exactly.
So I presume you'll switch all of those guys out, leave them to have their game, and then it's a good week to play it. I think there's especially with that City game.
If you get the starters correct in that City game, it could be a flurry of goals for City. So especially if it's the game where they're going to coronate them as champions, they'll be up for it. Zoff, I reckon if there is a fixture schedule around, announced, and there is a change of fixtures in terms of, say, Liverpool having a double game week in 36, something of that sort, we can maybe do a short pod with Bakker towards the end of the week as well.
Definitely. That would be really a curveball, because I think it's the first time I'm hearing of that possibility.
Yeah, same here, but I just think we need to cover all bases.
We'll do one again if that's the case.
Also, just wanted to pick you guys' brains in terms of moves as well. So let's assume Liverpool have a double game week in 35 at the moment. I mean, there are multiple options for me. Would you do, at the moment, I'm thinking Bale to Jota and Wood to DCL, or Reguilon to a 4.5-ish defender and Wood to DCL, and I can hold on to Bale for 37 and 38 because I'm likely free hitting in 36. So 36 is something I don't need to worry about. The other upside option, if I want to go for a Mane, means losing a Kane for a DCL and upgrading a Bale to Mane. Any of you fancy that?
No, I mean, keep in mind, if you're going to free hit next week, whoever you're going to buy now, you're also going to have in 37. So look at who has good fixtures in 37 also, right?
So Liverpool and Everton do have good fixtures. So I'm not too worried about
that. I was thinking something like Wood to Watkins, but then Watkins has poor fixtures in 37 and 38. So I don't really like that.
In my head, I'm sure I want to go for DCL ahead of any other striker at the moment. He's the one I want.
You have 2 free transfers or one?
1 free transfer. I'm happy to take a hit.
Okay, so you would do Wood to DCL funded by?
There are 3 options. Either I downgrade Reguilon to a 4.5 defender, I downgrade Bale to an 8-ish midfielder, so that's going to be Jota. Or I let Wood be and downgrade Wood Kane to DCL and upgrade Bale to Mane. That's an option.
Interesting.
Mane is the punt, right? That's
the thing is, with Bale against Leeds, I wouldn't put it past him outscoring any double game week player.
Exactly.
So I don't think you should be touching Bale at all.
There was some conversation that the high intensity style that Leeds have, it might not suit Bale as an option. He might not even start. I don't particularly buy it. What do you think?
I don't think he's getting dropped after the hat trick.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah.
But he'll probably only play 65 minutes or something, won't he? So, yeah. Probably.
Fair enough. I think at the moment, the Reguilon downgrade is looking like the best option. So I get to keep Bale as well. But if I downgrade Bale, I have Jota, who's a high upside pick in his own right as well. So that's just something I'm going to decide later this week.
Makes sense. So I think, but yeah, definitely would upgrade somewhere is probably where I would look at. That's probably the weakest link in the team.
Yep. All right, Zoff, you can go to your team now.
Right. I'm in a bit of a strange situation. I have 2 free transfers and I have absolutely no idea what to do with them.
Let me have a look at your team. Can you just take us, take the listeners to the team?
Martinez in goal, Rudiger, Shaw, Alexander Arnold, all 4 doublers there. Jota, likely double. Son, Lingard, Salah, Bruno, Kane, and Iheanacho. On the bench,
great team. On the bench, you're pretty well set for the double.
I know, right? I saved a free transfer last week, hoping that. But the thing with the Liverpool double dropping now, I really don't know what to do. I have 2 free transfers and 0.2 in the bank. So it's not like I can really.
It's hard to get. Yeah, I mean, ideally, you'd look at something like Rudiger to Digne, wouldn't you? But to fund that, you're going to need a downgrade somewhere else, I presume.
Exactly. And who do I downgrade?
You know, Zoff, I mean, in your situation where your team is so well set up, a Kane TCL hokey cookie wouldn't be a bad idea.
But the problem is I got Kane at something like 10.9. To buy him back, I have to like break. Like
it's 3 weeks. How much cash do you have in the bank at the moment?
0.2.
Oh, so you can't buy him back immediately. That's also the thing.
That's the problem. And I want to have 2 free transfers next week because I think 36, there's a lot more to be gained in terms of moves. So this week, I think probably some housekeeping with a size out to Audia, something like that.
And you're happy to see out DCL and go in without him. You don't really.
I just don't see where I can squeeze him because I want to keep Lingard. West Ham, have a bit of incentive. I don't see any point in losing Lingard with the fixtures that are coming. So probably some housekeeping with size to Audia because like you were discussed earlier, Wolves are done. There's some good fixtures coming up for Spurs over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And you're in a great position, Zoff, aren't you? You know, you've had a great season. You're in a great position. And I don't think you need to go. You don't need to be taking hits left, right and centre now. You just need to play a sensible game, I think. And you should get a top 10K, I reckon.
But he does have luxury transfers to make, because his team is in such a good place. I'm actually wondering whether he can play a little bit more aggressive because... There are points to take, do you expect a Lingard in 35 and 36 combined to outscore a DCL's off? That would be my thinking.
See, I can't really move Lingard to DCL. The problem is I have nothing in the bank, right? 0.2. So if I want to convert, let's say a Brewster to DCL, DCL is 7 point something.
That's the problem. Lingard is 6 point something, right? So you can't.
The options are very limited.
And there's an argument to say you'll want Lingard back in 37 and 38 anyway, maybe, unless you're going Antonio instead. But you're using free transfers, aren't you? So it's quite limited on what you've got to be careful with what you're doing. So.
The only other player option he has of losing is Son, and we like the matchup for Son this week against Leeds. It's a good fixture for Son.
And the fixtures to follow as well, which are pretty good as well, aren't they? Because that's what I was thinking. If I lose... if I wasn't going to free hit this week and I took out players like Son and Raheelon to get in, I'm only going to want them back as well, aren't I? So it's a difficult one.
Exactly. I don't want to sell any player I know that I'll want back in 36. It seems a bit silly because anything can go wrong, right? Some other players could get injured, etc., etc. Then I'd have other fires to put out.
Fair.
Should we wrap up then? We can move on to the Q&A.
Yes, those in the chat, you can just ask us some questions. We'll do this for about 10, 15. Tom, how much time do you have?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, 10, 15 minutes. That's fine by me.
All right, guys. So feel free to hit us with your questions. And don't forget to hit the like button as well. Mayur is asking, why not Bruno to Oba? Bruno's got a double game week. He's not going to sell Bruno in 35, Mayur.
Yeah. No way.
Stoikov is asking, play Rudiger or Holding? Old friend of mine, I play in a draft league with him. Rudiger or Holding, who do you start this week?
Rudiger.
Yeah, same.
All right. BK Bass is asking if he has the wildcard and free hit left. What should I use and when? Interesting, for those that have wildcard left.
Must have the patience of a saint.
Yeah, I'd probably free hit in 35 and then wildcard in 36.
Yeah.
So you're looking at the run-in as one final.
And the thing is, the teams who blank in 36, right? I don't think you'd want them necessarily in 37, 38.
That's what I was just looking at. You can lose your Leicesters, your Chelseas, can't you?
Exactly.
And not worry about it. And even Man United, you might consider losing them then, knowing that they've got Liverpool and then rotation, possibly minute management in the last game week. You might think that's worthwhile taking out Fernandes then and reinvesting in other areas.
Gaurav is saying he went from 46k to 72k after the United blank.
How do I face this drama?
Gaurav, all of us had at least 3 or 4 players in that game, and it happens. The game is still left to be played, so you have those players who were in those games who will have an extra game in the future, so don't worry about it too much. There was another interesting question, actually.
They ask you about Werner. It says, LR Werner worth a shout. You're like the Werner, poster Werner.
Werner's not worth a shot, but I'm telling you, next season, he's going to have that run because it's impossible to do what he did this season in terms of the sheer amount of bad luck he's had, the sheer amount of pathetic finishing he's done. And he's traditionally not that poor a finisher. I've been monitoring. So there's going to be when his confidence turns, there's going to be a run because he hogs the amount of chances for Chelsea. And that's when you go in for him. But there's going to be
interesting price next year, won't it? What they stick him up at?
Absolutely. Interesting question. Are you guys, any of you planning to hold Iheanacho in 37 and 38? I don't plan on.
No.
I think I'm going to go in on Antonio.
I'm in a bit of a difficult one because I've got Iheanacho, but I've got Welbeck too, and Welbeck's fixtures are obviously terrible for the last two as well. I don't mind the West Ham game in 36, so I'm going to have to probably hold one of them, and I'd probably hold Iheanacho, but I don't mind the Tottenham game so much, but Chelsea away, it's not ideal, is it? I definitely wouldn't mind getting rid of him in 36,
Aman Shah is asking triple captain choice. Aman, you have a lucky gift where you probably get to triple captain Mo Salah in 35 if there's a double game week, so
there's definitely go for the double game week.
Cheap defenders to see out the season, what do you like, guys?
Ooh, mentioned Dallas earlier, but whether or not he classifies as cheap anymore, he's what is he, 5.3 or something like that? That might be a bit too much. Let's have a look. Soufal possibly.
Ben Crillon just tweeted that he's less sure that Liverpool will get a double game week in 35. He's seen rumours that United vs Liverpool will move to Monday, 17th May, which is in game week 36. And West Brom vs Liverpool will stay in game week 36 and move from the Sunday to the Friday night. If this happens, Liverpool will have a single game week in 35 and then a double game week in 36. Moving pieces, so many moving pieces. Makes things very, very interesting.
Okay. Right. So
If that happens, I'd be tempted to free hit in 35 and join.
Because this is what we were all thinking on Saturday, wasn't it? This is the position that we were in before we thought that the Liverpool game might move to, or that they might get the double. Yeah, it's interesting. It's hard to commit to any strategy at the moment, isn't it?
Look back, go to your team, sit with a pen and paper and see what your team looks like for both teams and then take that decision. Changes anything in your head, Tom, Zoff?
I'm sorry, I just lost track.
Not for me, really, because it actually benefited the free hit, I think, a little bit if Liverpool didn't play, because it opened up a couple more spots. It means that you get them back in for 36. It means that I might be able to add a United midfielder into the mix, an additional one on top of Fernandes. So it's kind of like if they don't, I'd just go back to the drafts that I was building on Saturday.
I'm left in a difficult position. I think it makes a difficult decision very difficult for me. But that's something to ponder later. Let's do some more questions. What do you think about Benteke for the free hit as a third striker? I mentioned I like him as an option. The fixtures are there. I'm expecting him to play both the games. I wouldn't mind him because he's budget price, so I don't mind that if he's facilitating some premiums in your team. What do you guys think?
I think they're better options.
Tom?
I agree. And I do worry with Mateta there. I know that he's kind of come in that he might be given. I mean, it looks like Benteke is the number one forward there at the moment. But I don't know. I look at Watkins, I look at Calvert-Lewin, I look at Iheanacho. Probably put them a bit ahead, I think.
Stone Lai has an interesting question. What do you think about hits this late in the season?
You're the specialist about this late in the season. Why don't you tell us?
I love hits late in the season. But I think there are some balls which you try catching late in the season. And personally, for me, they work out more often than not. So I'm all for them if you're, you know, going for really high upside picks. Like Bale, you know, against Sheffield United at home, he was a haul that was there for the taking. Similarly, you know, Aguero in Newcastle, there's this brace hat-trick potential there. So you need to identify these games that you want to catch in terms of hauls and then you go for it. Anything to add, guys?
The thing is, I think right now with the doubles and all, it's a little bit different than what it usually is, right? We don't expect doubles this late on in the season at such short notice. So I think it's probably within now it's okay. Once you get to 37, 38 is when it becomes like, you know, less likely to pay off because you have a shorter period. But I think now you still have 4 to 5 games for a hit to pay off.
Yeah, agreed. Shankar is asking if you can't do Son to Bale. I don't think you need to sell Son for Bale, especially the Leeds game suits Son more. So I don't think that's on your mind, is it, Zoff?
I mean, Son is like a comfort blanket for me. I love Son as a player, so I don't think that's a move I necessarily fancy. I want to make some sort of upgrade that feels more of a sideways move.
Nitesh is asking if Liverpool don't have the double, who are the best captaincy options? We discussed that Bruno and Iheanacho are the top two that we think. What do you think about DCL as an outside shot
for captaincy? It's a punt.
Not for me.
It's a punt.
Not for you. Yeah, not for me.
Everton, creative numbers in general aren't that great. The thing is, but if whatever they do create falls to DCL.
Exactly. It's like Spurs back in the day, right? Where they didn't create too much under Mourinho, but whatever they did fell to those guys. And it's West Ham and Aston Villa. Both haven't looked pretty good in defense. It's a punt. It's not a bad punt, I think. I just think United and Leicester are more reliable.
Someone is asking Guaita or Pickford as Leno replacement, a super chat. I think it would be what? Pickford?
Yeah, I'd go with Pickford too. I just...
This isn't a free hit. This is for the rest of the season, right? Yeah, it's been rumblings about Olsen getting games, hasn't there? But I can't really see that with the running. I think Pinkford needs to be playing for the Euros, and I think Ancelotti will probably go with him. And it's the fixtures to follow. Guatia has some pretty tough ones, doesn't he, in the running after this double game week. So, yeah, I think Pickford could be an okay pick. I do worry about Everton defensively, but you can say that about a lot of teams with goalkeepers in that price point, can't you? I don't think, you know, even Martinez and things, you know, he's not playing with a great defence in front of him. So, yeah, Pickford ahead of Guatia, I think.
All right. What do you think about Trent for a captaincy pick if Liverpool have the double win? I can't look beyond Salah. I think he's the one you go for.
Agree.
Yeah. I think if we were talking about the Liverpool defence from last year, then I think it would make a bit of sense. But this year, I just don't have as much confidence in them. I know that some people captained him against Villa and he got that late goal and it kind of paid off for them. But yeah, I think I'm the same as you guys. Salah is head and shoulders above the rest, I think, if they do get the double. But maybe that doesn't sound that likely anymore. So let's see.
All right. A lot of questions coming in for Madison owners. They're asking if it's worth switching Madison to Zaha or Greenwood. I personally wouldn't. I'd stick with him for this week and then shift him out next week. It's what I'd do.
Yeah, you can't go removing a player out before a double game week when he's got Newcastle as one of them. And I think he's going to start, isn't he? I think Rodgers wants to give him minutes. You just got to hope that, you know, he's just building fitness and he gets that confidence back again and he can finish strongly. Because he's another player who wants to go to the Euros, isn't he?
Zoff, question from Stoikov. Would you sell Rudiger to Shaw? Is it worth a hit this week?
Maybe if they have a confirmed fixture in 36, if they have the Liverpool game also. But let me ask you, do you think Shaw plays every game till the end of the season, barring 38?
I think he plays every game, but I'm worried about game week 38.
Correct. But even the other games are all so close, right? I think he could put in Telles for one of them. The Fulham game. Fulham game or something like that.
Probably, but I don't see it. With Solskjaer, I think he just sticks with the same team and lets them run with it. I don't see it changing.
Maybe if they have the thing, the 36 fixture also, and he needs a player for 36, then effectively you're paying off the hit there.
Yep. Yep. Agreed. I think we can end the stream here. We've gone on for a while. How long was this one?
An hour 52.
Wow. Probably our longest stream.
I think so. Yep.
All right. I definitely need to end it. Thank you guys so much for watching. We hope it was useful. We might do something on Thursday or Friday if news comes out and it's drastically different. So we're not really sure about that. But thanks, Tom, again for joining us and being with us. It's been great as usual. Time flew by.
Thanks for having me.
2 hours flew by. So thank you for being with us.
Thanks for coming on, Tom. Good luck with the free hit, and I'm confident that you're going to be finishing in the 50K this season.
Yes. No, good luck, Tom. We're cheering for you.
Cheers. Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
Have a good one,
guys. Cheers.
See you guys. Take care. Bye.